Good morning. I'm really pleased to have the opportunity to share with you this morning our experience with computer-assisted self-interview in the King County STD Clinic. Our clinic is a public health STD clinic in Seattle that sees about 13,000 patient visits per year. And in October of 2010, we implemented computer-assisted self-interview, or CASI, for routine collection of sexual history for all patients on new patient visits. Prior to implementing this system, we validated the accuracy of key data elements with a 6-week period of parallel data collection, in which all patients who went through CASI also saw clinicians who were blinded to the CASI results. The primary goal of implementing this system for us was to increase clinic efficiency. A secondary goal was to improve data quality for surveillance and research. Previous studies with CASI had demonstrated increased disclosure of sensitive risk behavior with CASI as compared to in-person interview. Excuse me. So this shows you what the kiosks look like in our clinic. Essentially, all patients who come in for a new visit still have inpatient registration with our front desk staff. Then they are asked to proceed to these kiosks where they have a private place to sit and do the touchscreen sexual history prior to seeing clinicians for evaluation and treatment. So the questions of this analysis were, first, did the collection of key sexual history data elements improve after CASI implementation in our clinic? And second, did the reported prevalence of some sensitive risk behaviors change after we implemented CASI? So to do this analysis, we examined the electronic STD clinic record database, and we looked at new problem visits in October 2010 to September 2011, the 12-month period after implementation of CASI, and compared that to a 5-year pre-CASI period from 2005 to 2010. For visits that did not have CASI data, clinicians documented the sexual history in a structured, standardized form that we have for collection of sexual history. We examined completeness of data for the following elements among MSM: HIV testing, status and testing history, care and ART use among those who were positive, bacterial STD history, condom use with anal sex by partner HIV status, and among women and heterosexual men, we looked at HIV status and testing history, bacterial STD history, and condom use with vaginal sex. We could not assess data completeness for drug use. Methamphetamine use, for instance, is of interest, but we did not compare that because we couldn't distinguish between missing and negative values prior to CASI implementation. And we compared data completeness with t-tests. For sensitive risk behaviors in this analysis, we examined the following among MSM: methamphetamine and popper use, report of 10 or more sex partners in the past year, report of unprotected anal intercourse with partners of discordant or unknown HIV status. And among women and heterosexual men, we examined prevalence of transactional sex, crack use, and injection drug use. We looked at the prevalence of these behaviors in the entire clinic population pre- and post-CASI implementation. Because of the non-random nature in which patients are assigned to CASI or not CASI, even though we attempt to have it with everybody, we weren't able to directly compare sensitive risk behaviors among CASI users and non-CASI users. Our study population was composed of approximately 68,000 visits. 29% of those were with MSM, 41% in heterosexual men, 30% in women. A key question for this analysis is, how accurate is the CASI at ascertaining MSM? So here defined as a man reporting a male partner, sex partner, in the past 12 months. And in our parallel validation period, we found that the agreement between CASI and clinician-obtained data for this measure had a kappa coefficient of 0.93, so very high agreement. In the pre-CASI year, 47% of men reported having a male partner in the past year. In the post-CASI year, 49% did, and that increase was on par with the year-to-year increases that we saw prior to implementing CASI. So we do believe that that is an accurate assessment. In the post-CASI period, 76% of new problem visits had CASI data, so not the 100% that we would, of course, like to see. And visits with CASI data were with patients. There were some differences among patients who completed CASI. Those who completed the CASI were more likely to be younger, under 30 years old, less likely to be MSM, and less likely to be Hispanic. There were not other differences by race ethnicity. So let's look first at completeness of key data elements among MSM in approximately 20,000 visits. Because of, in part, the size of the population, we did see statistically significant increases in completeness for all of the variables. However, this was particularly notable in HIV care status among those who were HIV positive, which increased from 79 to 88% completeness, and antiretroviral use among those previously diagnosed with HIV, which increased from 61 to 88%. HIV status, testing history, bacterial STD history, and condom use by partner status with anal sex also increased significantly, though not with the same absolute differences. So what does that translate to in terms of numbers? Here we are looking at MSM in the pre-CASI period, looking at the mean number of patients with each of these variables versus the post-CASI period. So looking, for instance, at non-concordant UAI, although the absolute increase in completeness of that variable was not quite as notable, this translated to a difference of us identifying 383 more men who reported non-concordant UAI in the past year, and identifying 15 additional patients who were out of HIV care and 29% of patients not taking antiretrovirals, enabling us to identify those patients and conduct an intervention. Among women and heterosexual men, there also were statistically significant increases in each of the variables, though not to some of the same degree as those we just looked at with MSM. So now let's switch to looking at the prevalence of reported risk behaviors. Here you see the prevalence from year to year, or 12-month period, in the 5 years preceding CASI and the post-CASI year, the 2010 to 2011 column on the right. Methamphetamine use and report of 10 or greater sex partners did not change substantially after implementation of CASI. Non-concordant UAI, however, did increase somewhat among HIV positives, although it's difficult to ascertain since there was some increase in the few years before then, and increased to a greater degree among those without previously diagnosed HIV infection. Pauper use also increased substantially in the post-CASI year compared to the pre-CASI years, in a way that appeared to be out of proportion to previous increases. Now we're looking at female visits. Injection drug use and crack use both were stable to slightly declined compared to previous, not striking differences. Whereas transactional sex, although uncommon in our population, did seem to decrease by report after CASI was implemented among women, and anal sex increased somewhat. Among males, similarly, injection drug use and crack use in the post-CASI year looked roughly on par with the pre-CASI years. And anal sex increased substantially among men, so heterosexual men reporting anal sex with their partners in the post-CASI year. So in summary, complete ascertainment of key aspects of the sexual history increased with CASI, and in particular, HIV testing history and care receipt and ART use increased in our population. Sensitive behavior detection may have changed. Among MSM, there appeared to be increased reports of non-concordant UAI and pauper use. Among heterosexuals, there appeared to be increased reports of anal sex, but perhaps decreased report of transactional sex. There are certainly several limitations to this analysis, including that so far we only have 1 year of data post-CASI implementation to compare with the previous years, and we don't have a gold standard for the truth about these sexual risk behaviors. So I believe that CASI implementation in STD clinics is likely to improve data quality for surveillance and research, and in doing so may improve patient care, has the potential to do so, again, because we can identify patients with key risk factors or key problems, such as being out of HIV care, that we can then conduct an intervention to improve. If multiple sites in STD clinics implemented CASI, we could have some uniformity of data collection across sites that may allow for increased comparison. However, I think that it's unlikely that CASI will be roundly embraced for routine care until we are able to demonstrate that it really increases clinic efficiency or improves patient outcomes, which no one has done to date. And lastly, just a slide plugging the prevention training centers. And with that, I'll take questions. Thank you.
question, please?
So my first question is about cost of implementing the ICASI system. And does it increase the patients spend less time in the clinic with the ICASI than they do by talking to a
Both key questions. So the cost of the CASI itself, first of all, I can't give you an exact figure. We did develop this in-house, so we had our programmer work, somebody who already worked in the clinic, work on programming this initially in JavaScript. And we will, as we go forward and evaluate the cost effectiveness of that, need to come up with more precise figures. Your second question about increasing efficiency, that certainly is the goal. The idea being here that that having the sexual history taken beforehand can particularly decrease the length of time that patients spend in the visit with the clinician and allowing us to triage patients who are eligible for express care to an express care pathway. We have not fully implemented that to date. When we did our first time motion study after approximately 2 months after implementation of the CASI, we did not find a difference in visit times. I suspect that may change in part because there take some time for the uptake. I think clinicians have changed their behavior over time, and especially once we have a model in which express care patients can really go through a separate route, I suspect we'll be able to demonstrate that, but that's what we need to test.
A couple more questions.
Hi, I'm Jessica Burley from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. We actually have kiosks that I put on yesterday for integrating them. So it's great to see this. So I was just curious, as far as your patients that go and use the CASI, is it every patient that goes that route, or is it only patients that become the physician? And then if they are, if it's everybody who looks at the information?
Very good questions. I saw your presentation yesterday. Thank you. So I'd love to talk with you further. And your questions were, does everybody complete it? And was there one other before that? I'm sorry. Okay. So ideally, every new patient visit completes it. So there are some exceptions to that. Follow-up visits, patients who aren't fluent in English, or patients who decline and don't feel comfortable with it, which is actually quite rare in our population. So the goal is for 100% of new patient visits, although clearly we fell below that, and I don't have all the data for that. Anecdotally, I think it's most of the time because the clinician at the end of the day was trying to get someone through quickly. Yes. So the only patients who don't see clinicians in our clinic are those who are there for HIV testing only, in general. That's the biggest exception. Otherwise, anybody there for symptoms, to be treated as a contact, et cetera, does see a clinician and go start to finish. And I feel like there was something else I wanted to say on your question, but I didn't write. But I'd love to talk with you further afterwards. Thank you. That's a good question, and thank you because it reminded me of what I wanted to say about the last one. So what happens with this, at the end of this, we generate a printout that triages the patient to express a routine care and then essentially has a summary of their answers. So for MSM in particular, there's an anal sex grid where you can see with positive and negative partners their degree of condom use, and we trigger a number of action steps. So things like test for X, has a symptomatic partner. We don't right now have triggering for counseling in general because I think our clinicians have incorporated that, but it does highlight essentially the summary of the information put in, and then it's up to the clinician to either do the counseling or connect to services as appropriate. For express care patients who don't have symptoms, and we have an algorithm for that, but essentially no symptoms, no contact to STD, we don't do any counseling for those patients.
Okay, now last question.
I'm interested in your presentation yesterday and the inability to show improved efficiency in terms of time with the provider after the CASI. And I'm wondering if it that the provider just needs to ask the questions to get in their own head before they see the patients or understand the patient's history, or do you think it's because CASI is better at eliciting all these sensitive behaviors that there's more counseling that the provider is provoked to, or some other theory?
Right. No, it's a very good question, and I'll tell you my thought, but I don't yet have the data to support this. And again, I'm hoping that we will in the future. So we, again, looked at our clinic efficiency relatively soon after implementing the kiosk. And a big part of what we found was that it didn't work the way we envisioned it would, in large part because clinicians wanted to take a more thorough sexual history on patients who were triaged to express care to sort of make sense that that was... convince themselves that that was appropriate. My sense is that over time, and as you heard, Dwayne is one of our clinicians, over time the clinicians have embraced this more, and that I think it has changed our clinic behavior. I know it has because the kiosk has been down recently and we've seen that firsthand. So I think that this is why I think we need to test it again with more time out from the intervention, and again really making two separate pathways for express and non-express patients, which we had not done in our clinic when we initially showed efficiency. When we initially found no effect on efficiency.
Okay. Thank you, Julia.
Now we have